We do have Mr. Childs here.
Thank you very much. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Very good, Mr. Childs.
So now we're almost there.
You were better off in the other chair. We now.
Okay, sorry.
We can see the guard, but we can't see you.
Yes, sir.
There, how's that? Is that better?
Very good. So, Mr. Childs, this is oral argument, and you have 10 minutes to talk to the court, tell the court what your side of the argument is. You can reserve time for rebuttal, because after you argue, then Mr. Campbell, who is here in the courtroom representing the state of Nebraska, will argue. So many times, normally we have lawyers arguing to us, and they will usually reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal so that you could speak after Mr. Campbell speaks. Would you like to reserve some time for rebuttal?
Yes, I also sent a motion for an attorney for this situation. I don't know if the courts received it or not, but it was sent in the mail approximately a week and a half ago, because I really don't know what to say as far as the argument, the oral argument part. But I sent a motion in to attain an attorney, if that's okay with you guys. I don't know how it works, but this is
To the best of my knowledge, I'm not aware of the motion, and we are here today for arguments, and you don't have a lawyer, and you don't have to proceed if you don't wish to, but essentially you filed a brief, and I think you would be talking about the things that you put in your brief.
Yes, sir. But where do I start? At the beginning of, I mean, the whole case, or because that would definitely take more than 10 minutes.
Well, you've only got 10 minutes.
Yes, sir. And I can't have a lawyer.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
And I can't have a lawyer present, or I can't
attain
an attorney or anything.
Right, we can't find you a lawyer in the time we have here today.
Yeah, I know. Is there any kind of way possible that I could reschedule for maybe like a week or so down?
There's no way to reschedule this at the moment.
Okay, well, that's fine.
So you may proceed and tell us the important parts of your argument, if you would.
Okay, the important part of my argument in regards to my case is the fact that I had been dealing with this young lady for months prior. Okay, like I said, I don't really know where to start and what's important to say or vital in regards to this situation, because my understanding, this was about jurisdiction. Am I right or wrong? I don't know.
It is, exactly. Yes, jurisdiction.
So if it is, then should I talk about my case, or should I don't understand, what should I talk about?
I would suggest you talk about jurisdiction. And the judge did not give you a hearing below, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's true.
So you should talk to us about why you think you should have gotten a hearing.
I should have gotten a hearing because I was threatened by the state in regards to habitual criminal. I should have gotten a hearing because I didn't understand the things that I was agreeing to in regards to my court proceedings. I just would have preferred an attorney, because a lot of things that they was discussing in regards to my briefs, I didn't understand. So I was really, that's why I filed the motion approximately a week and a half ago for an attorney, so I can understand things a little more clear. So That's why I'm really unprepared for this situation, because I don't understand a lot of things they was talking about in their brief.
Very good. Do
yes,
any
sir.
members of the court have any questions for Mr. Childs?
Mr. Childs, do you want to say anything about the trial court's reasoning applying a statute having to do with service of process that's not done within 6 months?
A due process you're referring to?
I'm talking about a statute. The statute number is section 25-217. Do you want to talk to us at all about that statute?
Well, I'm not familiar with the statute that you're referring to, but if I go back and review my paperwork, or maybe with an attorney, I can. I don't understand the statute that you're referring to. I don't know anything about that.
Okay. Mr. Childs, your brief on appeal assigned,
yes,
as error the fact that the trial court dismissed your petition for writ of habeas corpus under the statute that Justice Castle just
read. Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am. They actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so this is your opportunity to tell us why you think that the trial court made a mistake in dismissing your habeas petition based on that service statute.
Yes, ma'am. I do recall the fact that when I went and looked up the reasoning, the statute, if I'm not mistaken, that you just mentioned, that they dismissed my habeas corpus because it was a civil case. In my case, they said it like I was suing the state for something. And I wasn't suing. I was appealing on my criminal appeal. And they dismissed it on the grounds of me suing. They said that I didn't file in a timely matter of letting them know that I was suing the state, and that wasn't the issue.
So is it your position, sir, that 25-217 does not apply in habeas actions, and it was an error for the court to have applied it to yours?
Yes, if that's the same statute that we're referring to in regards to the civil situation. Yes, ma'am. I am. I don't have any paperwork in front of me, so I can't specifically stipulate the statute that you're saying, but I have to make sure that it's the statute that they dismissed it on those grounds. That's a fact. So that wasn't the right reason to deny my appeal, because I wasn't suing the state. I was appealing for my criminal case and the jurisdiction on that. So what they dismissed it on was the fact that I didn't file in a timely manner. I didn't let them know that I was suing the state, and that wasn't the situation at all.
When you prepared your petition for writ of habeas corpus, did you do that yourself, or did someone assist you?
Pro se. We both, me and another guy, sat around in the computers, and I typed the situation up and sent it to the courts. Yes, sir.
Mr. Childs, the time is yours to use, but you might wish and you could choose to let Mr. Campbell, who's arguing for the state, say what he's going to say and use what time you have left to respond to what he says. That's up to you, though.
That's fine.
Is that what you want to do?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Very good. Then, Mr. Campbell, you may approach and proceed. And Mr. Childs, if you can't hear Mr. Campbell's argument, please let us know.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Campbell, you may proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. James Campbell on behalf of Appellee Scott Frakes. There are really two issues here. The first issue is focusing specifically on the assignment of error, which is whether the lower court erred in not holding an evidentiary hearing. And then the second issue that Mr. Childs seeks to raise, which is arguably implicated here, no doubt, but he didn't assign it as heir, is whether the statute that was discussed earlier, 25-217, applies to habeas cases. I'll start with that latter issue, because it seems like the court wants to reach that issue here, even though it wasn't specifically assigned. We do think that that statute does not apply in habeas cases. We've laid out six reasons why that's so in our brief. I'd highlight just three of them this morning. The first one is when you look at the text of 25-217, it talks about serving a defendant in a legal action. The key words there being defendant in action. But when you look over at the habeas statute, it doesn't talk about defendants. It doesn't refer to the proceeding as an action. And so there appears to be a misfit between applying that rule in the habeas context. The second reason is that there is no obligation in the habeas statute for the petitioner to serve the habeas petition on the respondent. And so in light of that, it doesn't make sense to apply a statute that effectively penalizes someone for not serving when there is no obligation to serve in the first place. And the third and final reason that I'll highlight this morning, unless the court wants to discuss others, is that the trial court has an independent duty and an independent obligation to review the habeas petition and to rule on it, whether that's issuing the writ, whether it's issuing an order to show cause, or whether it's dismissing the writ.
Now, I'm going to ask a question, but it's mainly for the benefit of your opponent that I'm asking the question. And you're familiar with the rule of law that says even if the trial court made a decision for the wrong reason, as long as the decision itself was correct, we're not going to reverse the trial court's right decision for the wrong reason. You're familiar with that rule of law.
Correct.
And you think it applies in this instance?
I do.
And you, now is your chance to tell us and for Mr. Child's benefit why.
Sure. So I think ordinarily there would be no question that it would apply. The one complicating factor here is that the dismissal in this case was a dismissal without prejudice. And if the court were to find that Mr. Childs's habeas claims are not cognizable, then that would be a basis for a dismissal with prejudice. So there is a general rule that appellate courts recognize. I haven't found any instance where this court has, but there's a general rule throughout federal courts that a court of appeals should not alter a trial court judgment to benefit the appellee in the absence of a cross appeal. So there, I have two responses to that. One is we filed a cross appeal, and so for that reason, I think the court can go ahead and can issue a clear declaration that the habeas claims lack merit and direct the lower court to dismiss that petition with prejudice. The second argument is that general rule that says appellate courts should not alter the judgment in favor of the appellee, it's not a jurisdictional rule, and it can't. There are exceptions to it. In this case, is a perfect opportunity for an exception to it. And I would say that's the case for three reasons. The first reason is the assignment of heir that Mr. Childs has raised, whether there was a requirement to give an evidentiary hearing, requires this court to assess the merits of his claims, because whether he was entitled to an evidentiary hearing depends on whether or not his claims have any merit. So because the court has to address that issue anyways in deciding the assignment of heir, it might as well go ahead, declare that his claims have no merit, and direct the lower court to enter a dismissal with prejudice. That's the first reason. The second reason is his claims are entirely baseless. And so to remand this to the lower court would be to prolong a proceeding that is only going to end in the dismissal of his claim. And Justice Castle, you have a question?
I was going to ask you, if this court were just to affirm the trial court, say right decision, wrong reason, affirmed, do those words without prejudice have any effect on any future proceeding?
I suppose they would if he would refile the petition. If this court were to simply say affirm, then it would be affirming a dismissal without prejudice. So it seems that Mr. Childs could perhaps then refile his habeas petition.
Wouldn't anyone who filed exactly the same petition, expect exactly the same result?
Well, if in the interim, this court issues a ruling saying that the trial court should not have relied on 25-217, I don't think he could expect the same result. I think he would expect a different result. Nevertheless, and in my opinion, that result would be that the district court would pick up the case under its independent duty to assess the merits, and it would declare that there is no merit, and it would issue a ruling to that effect. But
counsel, you're asking us to jump that step, though, aren't you? Your assignment of error on cross appeal is that the district court erred by not dismissing it on the merits. That's the cross appeal assignment.
Correct.
And the reason I struggle with that a little bit is there's no indication to me that the court ever engaged in that analysis, despite the obligation to do so. Instead, it dismissed it under 25-217. Is there something in our record that suggests that the court conducted the analysis of the merits and made a mistake in doing so?
No, I don't believe so. But again, I would go back to the fact that there is an independent duty on the trial court to pick up a habeas petition and to rule on it. And so that duty was not complied with here. And I think that's why this court can grant our cross appeal, direct the lower court to address the merits. Because again, I think addressing the merits is part and parcel of dealing with the assignment of error that was raised.
But you're asking us to assume that the district court would have gotten it wrong if it had addressed the merits.
I don't think we're asking you to assume that the district court would have gotten it wrong. I think what we're asking is that the district court erred in not addressing it. And so this court can go ahead and just do that because it is patently frivolous. But
aren't you ultimately arguing that even if you accept all the allegations of the petition for writ of habeas corpus as true, it doesn't state a basis for a writ of habeas corpus, and consequently, don't we review that issue de novo? If the district court had simply said, no, they're dismissed.
Correct.
Wouldn't we review that decision de novo?
Correct.
And aren't you asking us to review it de novo?
In the cross appeal, I believe that is what we're asking.
So why don't we just say, no, they're affirmed?
I would very much like it if the court would say, no, they're affirmed.
All right.
And so I guess that's perhaps a different and better way to look at and to respond to Justice Stacey's question.
Don't we have to say something about 25-217 and whether or not it's applicable in an habeas corpus case?
Well, I do not think that that question was assigned as error. Having said that, the court can address an issue that isn't assigned as error under plain error review. And so if the court does address that issue,
it is arguably plain error, is it not?
I think it is arguably plain error. And so I think the court can address that. And I don't think these two issues are mutually exclusive. I think the court can say something about 25-217, make it clear that it does not apply in habeas cases. And it can simultaneously say that the lower court's decision should be affirmed on the alternative ground that there is no merit to these habeas claims.
Well, right decision. I'm sort of curious about how the doctrine of plain error could ever apply where the rule right decision for the wrong reason actually applies. Because doesn't the doctrine of plain error ultimately require that the decision itself was wrong?
That might be true, and perhaps that's a reason not to address Section 25-217, although I believe that it would be good for this court to provide clarity to the lower courts on that question, because in looking throughout the state for case law on this issue, we have found other district courts that are mistakenly relying on that. And so I do think it would be good to provide clarity. I haven't discussed why the state believes that Mr. Childs's habeas claims lack merit. I'm happy to take any specific questions on that. I think we've outlined it in our brief. I really just very candidly don't think any of them are mildly close questions. They're all just not cognizable claims entitling him to habeas relief. So unless there are further questions, we would ask the court to declare definitively that there is no merit in Mr. Childs's habeas claims and to direct the lower court to enter judgment dismissing his habeas petition without prejudice or with prejudice. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we have some time for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor, 4 minutes and 26 seconds.
Mr. Childs, you've got 4 minutes and 26 seconds to make any comments you want to make about what Mr. Campbell has had to say this morning.
Yes, sir. I definitely feel that there's merit in what the messages and the complaints that I had in regards to my brief. A lot of things that was just said that I don't quite understand, and I would like, if any kind of way possible, I can have an attorney help me with this situation. But if not, there's a lot of things this in regards to my case that the state don't know about. I feel this should be brought out to the light. I don't know how to go about doing it, but if I had an attorney, I definitely would speak on my issues and the complaints that I have in regards to the state and the ineffective assistance of counsel in all of my whole situation. However, I'm not really familiar with how to do this, but if I had some help, possibly do a little more and say a little more. So I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to rebuttal, but if I have a better opportunity, I would appreciate that as well.
Very good. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you. And have a good rest of your day.
You too, sir. Is there any one more question, please? Is there any kind of way possible that I could get a copy of this hearing and what was said here today?
I think that that is, but we don't make an actual record of the hearing. It is recorded, so it's possible to watch it. And I don't know what kind of facilities you have at the corrections facility, but it's possible to watch the oral arguments because we have them archived on our webpage.
Yes, sir. Is there information to that? Okay, I'll talk to Mr. Griffin, Matt, and he'll know.
Yeah, I just sent her a kind.
Yes, sir.
The bailiff says she can email that to you.
Okay, well, that's fine. If that's possible, I would highly appreciate that.
Very good.
Yes, sir. And when will I know the
decision? Thank you very much. We will try to get that emailed to you.
Okay, and when will I know the decision that you guys are making right today?
We won't make a decision today. There will be a decision in writing, and it will be some weeks before the decision comes down.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
That concludes arguments then in Childs versus Frakes. So Mr. Childs is excused, and Mr. Campbell, you also are excused. Thank you. Court will go on to the next case of the day then, which is In Re Estate of Adelung.